This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation. Also on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line, it's a shout-out Friday from the 321. Shout-out Friday. Shout-out to Kevin for breaking MJF with that sandwich joke.
That sandwich joke was great yesterday.
That was a proud moment.
That was the one moment, Alec, where you saw him break character completely, and he wanted to give credit.
Yeah.
He really did.
I've never heard MJF break character until that moment. I'm so serious. I've never heard him laugh at somebody else's joke like that or anything. That was so good.
From Cowboy Guy on YouTube, Kevin landed one. Congrats. From John, that was great, Kevin. And from Kid Cowboy, I think he's talking about me. He needs a beer.
From the 817, Corey, you'll like this.
You know what? I'm about to go get a beer. There's one in the fridge. I'm going to go get a beer right now.
From the 817, Corey, I got the joke at the exact same time that Corey did. Now I'm rolling on the floor.
He's so proud of himself, too.
I always lose. We talked about it. The scoreboard now might be 16 million to 3.
It's been a fun day.
All right, so let me have this one. All right, I want to go back to the Rangers in just one second and talk about the greatest unknown for the Rangers of this season, because I think you can make a really strong argument. You saw it play out yesterday. But also wanted to throw this out there. Did you see that MLB released their automatic balls and strikes system report?
Yes, okay. I did. It looked like they felt like it was pretty good.
And I think they're right, because 288 games with ABS in spring training, 4.1 challenges per game. The overturn percentage was 52.2%. And so, like, if you just even want to round it down, the calls were wrong about half of the time.
That seems bad.
It does, doesn't it? Because you were hoping it would be like, I don't know, like 15%.
Yeah, but it's spring training too. So those guys are in their spring training form.
Okay. All right. You know what? I will give them leeway for that. But then I think this was the biggest deal. Seconds added per challenge, 13.8.
Yeah.
So if there's, and we'll just round up and round, if there's four challenges per game on average at an average of 14 seconds per, that's 56 seconds. All right. So not even a minute that you're adding to the game. And I know this is part of a process, but it kind of feels like a pretty big step towards this being part of Major League Baseball, does it not?
Yeah, it does. If they scaled back the amount of time things take already, and even shaved off more time, right? After they said, hey, we're going to do it a little bit more. And if you were listening this morning, Mike Adams, our friend, hopped on with the morning show. I need to apologize to Mike Adams, by the way.
Yeah, we're supposed to have him on.
Yeah, that's on me, dude. I got way too busy yesterday. But I love that guy. But he hopped on and he was saying, you know, they're watching the game. And one of the guys he was sitting with said, hey, man, this is going by pretty fast. And he said, yeah. And they said, how long did games take when you were playing? He was like 3.5-4 hours.
Yeah.
And so they've already shaved that back. And now they're like, we can add less than a minute to the game by getting calls correct.
Yeah.
And now we don't have to have one of those. Now, I don't know if this is good or bad. Those moments where batters are flustered and they're arguing with you and now they're taken out of the game mentally, or where coaches, managers get ejected because balls and strikes aren't being called correctly. So I'm hoping that that's the case, but that is an entertaining thing, is managers arguing with umpires.
Sure.
And it is entertaining to see, you know, when your pitcher's getting the calls and he's throwing a Greg Maddux pitch where you're like, that was right there on the black. He was painting corners, and now maybe that won't be the case.
Now, over to the Rangers, and this is, look, we had to move a lot of stuff yesterday because guests were rolling in. We were having a blast.
Awesome.
Hopefully you guys were enjoying all the content that we were bringing to you yesterday. But the great unknown for the Rangers ahead of opening day, I get it why people would say the bullpen. Like, I absolutely understand that 100%, and it took one game to find out that that might well be the case, or it could be an anomaly. Like, you could be looking back at this in a month and a half and be like, man, this bullpen is badass. I can't believe what happened on opening day. But here's what I decided to go with instead, and I want to see if y'all have like a specific great unknown. I'm going to go with a group of Josh Young, Corey Seager, Jacob DeGrom, and Nathan Eovaldi. My great unknown is, can three of these four players stay healthy?
Oh, wow.
Because you have seen injury problems, obviously, for all of them, and for probably at least two of them, major injury problems. And so my great unknown is, can you keep three of these four specifically? That's not to say they're the best four players, because obviously, you know, Langford's going to be in the mix, Simeon's going to be in the mix, but these are the guys that kind of have like that injury history with them. And so can three of these four stay healthy?
I got three: DeGrom, Young, Seager. Who was the other one?
Eovaldi.
I think Eovaldi can, but I think Eovaldi's going to have, I say this all the time, a spot in late July where they maybe skip him a couple times just because he pitches so much through the season. He wants to pitch 9 innings. Like, that's it. His goal is to go out there and just eat it all up the entire day. He loves that part of it.
Yeah.
And hell, yesterday he's like, hey, by the way, watch my curveball be an out pitch on this. That was awesome. And seeing that he threw that into the mix, I think he's going to be mostly healthy. So that's one. I think Josh Young, it's very weird that most of his injuries have been just freak, like the season-long injuries.
I get it.
The calf last year was a bit of a concern because we understand you have to trade them if they have a calf injury. That's just the way it is, Nico.
You don't have to do that.
Doesn't Josh Young look as lean as we've ever seen him yesterday, Alec?
Yeah, he looks good, man. He looks comfortable, too. Like, yeah. Not just physically. He does look great physically, but it looks like he's kind of back in his rhythm. He's back in his flow. It looks like he's used to playing baseball on a consistent basis again, which makes me really happy.
So I think you can keep those two. Kevin, I have zero clue about Seager and DeGrom, though. Like, DeGrom,
it's fair. How can you?
Sunday could be it.
Yeah.
Sunday could also be the start of, you know, three straight no-hitters. Like, that's what he is.
Right.
Is the ability to be, Derek said it yesterday, we've been saying it all along, anytime he steps onto the mound, you have a chance to see something special happen, and maybe it's 4 innings, maybe it's 9.
Right.
You know, we don't know, but I feel comfortable with two of them as long as Josh Young doesn't get the accidental chaos thing happen, but Seager and DeGrom, I have zero clue.
And that's the thing, like, you can say, and Corey, if you defiantly said, I know what's going to happen, I'd be like, that's.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great. I'm glad that you think that. But you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Seager doesn't know. DeGrom doesn't know. You don't. Alec might know. But none of the rest of us, they know. Alec, what's your great unknown for this Rangers team?
We touched on it a little bit, so I had two. The first one was about Nate Eovaldi. Was it just going to be his dominant year? Is he going to be this good all season? But I think in that same kind of conversation, is Jake Berger going to be like the feature of this offense now and really of the position players? Because like Corey talked about, he flashed the glove a little bit yesterday at first base, but like I was thinking of, okay, he's going to swing at a lot of fastballs and he's going to do damage to them more times than not. And it's probably going to result in home runs or outs. Then he draws what, like a bazillion pitch walk against one of the best pitchers on the face of planet Earth. And I'm like, huh, is Jake Berger going to be the spark plug that this offense was missing last year? I surely thought it when they made the move for him. But even after just one game, I'm like, he's a lot better than people realize. It's just he was in a bad market on a bad team last year, so we didn't really talk about him. He's really exciting to me. So that's my unknown, is he going to be offensively and maybe even defensively that piece that you never knew that you were missing?
I hope so, right? Because we're already counting on...
Yeah, we were hoping he would just compliment this thing, right?
Yes.
The compliment Seager. Like, yeah. That was the hope.
And I think it's a hybrid, but you can be both, right? Like, you can compliment Seager, which hopefully means he's having an amazing season.
Right.
Or Marcus Semien's having a bounce back, or Wyatt Langford is stretching September out into all of our hopes and dreams, where you're just like, we would all love a world where Jake Berger is the fourth complimentary piece on this team, but man, does he get a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, but that's the problem, is if you chunk this lineup out, I'm looking at concerning parts across the way, whether you think Adolis is going to be a problem leading into eventually getting to Jake Berger, whether it's the top of the lineup. But I think you could be right about that and still, like, he could be complimentary great. I don't know if that's an actual thing, but you get what I'm saying.
I'll take it, yeah.
One of the things, Alec, I would love for them to do is, like, because there are so many interesting personalities in this clubhouse, Semien not being one. Listen, I love Marcus Semien, but he knows what he's doing. Like, he's like, I got to go in and focus every day, and I want to set a good example. Off the field, when you kind of get a chance to talk to him, he's actually pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
But he's focused. He's PC.
Hey, Marcus, you won't believe what Kevin just asked of this soccer player.
Look at how funny Michael Young is now. You know, like, Michael Young was very serious whenever he was. But yesterday, he was hilarious. And so, like, these guys, they do have it. But I hope that that Berger's personality, that the team takes part of it on. You know, that World Series year, they were a bunch of even keel guys. But they, whenever it was time to be part Adolis, they were. Yeah. Whenever it was time to be part Austin Hedges, they were. Like, they, all those guys had that personality. And then you see Josh Jung talking about, I truly believe that if you're going to develop and create an unselfish culture, you have to be unselfish. Which is why he gave all his teammates that stuff yesterday.
Which I did think was really cool.
It's an unselfish thing. And that those guys, Boach has said this many times. He's told us many times, give me a group of guys that all work together. That are all fighting together on something, all those personalities will pop up. So I see what Alec's saying. And if for a portion of the season, he needs to be the one carrying it, I think he can. And I think that's going to be a good thing for this group as they go along.
Now, this is not exactly a shout out, but as long as we're talking about the Rangers from the 6A2, I'll tell you who looked damn good and comfortable anywhere on the field is Josh Smith. And we talked about this obviously a lot last year. Josh Smith feels like a treasure, and he feels like the piece that you don't know you need until you see every winning team has their Josh Smith. You know what I'm saying? Where you're like, well, we couldn't have done it without him.
Yesterday, I believe it was Mike that was talking about, was it Rafaela? He was like, he's never going to be an all-star, but every team needs a guy like this.
Yes.
And I think that's the Josh Smith part of it. And dude, I know we're kind of looking to the future with Wilcott, I don't know what I was thinking. Walcott. Solomon Wilcott's is that
yes. Sebastian Walcott.
We're looking forward to the future with him. That's not here yet. And Seager has not decided to be the first baseman or the DH of his life. So for the time being, Josh Smith's a perfect fill-in part of it. Well, what would the decision be later down the road if it's between those two guys? And they're looking at it going, man, this one has all the size. He's got all the flash. Josh Smith, though, just keeps doing these things that make you go, I got to get him on the field.
And I actually think that's your answer right there, is that Walcott will be the guy. But Bruce Bochy has told us this before. Josh Smith will find a way to force you to keep his bat in the lineup. And I don't know where that's going to be. But then again, maybe they don't either. And they're like, well, today it's going to be here. Today it's going to be here.
Who's pitching today, Kevin?
For the Texas Rangers?
For the Texas Rangers.
Are we going Jack Leiter?
It is a Jack Leiter. It is a Jack Leiter day, Kevin. Are we going to get a no-hitter today? Or are we just going to get, you hoping for six innings like yesterday from Nate? If you got that, would you be like, this is the most special thing ever?
If Jack Leiter, look, I hope this makes sense. If Jack Leiter has the exact same outing that Nathan Eovaldi is, I will be so much more excited than I was yesterday. Because I've seen.
Then I can't. I'm going to be so amped for Rocker start.
Yes. And then DeGrom. But like, you've seen Evo do this.
Yep,
and you're
you
like,
know
oh, hey, big shock.
It's expected.
In the biggest possible situation you can imagine, he is freaking nails. And I wanted to go back to that because yesterday, 22 curveballs out of his 87 pitches. So almost exactly 25%. But think about this. Of those 22 curveballs he threw, he got 10 swings and misses.
Yeah, most of them were Devers. Devers, he had no. He was so happy to, that Eovaldi was out of that game yesterday.
That is a very fair point. But if you can get 10 swings and misses, or almost like even 45% swings and misses on a specific pitch, that is incredible. And then he ended his day with 9 strikeouts and no walks. It's only the 12th time in the last 50 years that any pitcher has struck out at least 9 without giving up a walk on opening day. And for the Rangers specifically, it ties him with Lance Lynn in 2020, Matt Harrison in 2013, Colby Lewis in 2012, and Nolan Ryan in 1991 for the most strikeouts on Rangers opening day.
I accept, Nate. I appreciate it, man.
I agree. I'm with you on all of that.